Well, welcome to tonight's Bible study. We're so glad to have you with us, joining us tonight. I was wondering if you could just leave us a comment to let us know that you're here. We would appreciate that and we would love to connect with you. I'm so excited to open up this new subject with you tonight. And if you can turn with me to the book of Luke, we're going to be jumping out of Luke chapter 2 in starting at verses 41, and we're going to read right through to 51. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It'll help just bring out this scripture a little bit more lively. Starting at verse 41 in Luke chapter 2, it says, "Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended this festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started heading home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the travelers, but when he didn't show up that evening, they started to look for him among the relatives and the friends, frantically trying to find Jesus. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and even asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. He said, 'Son,' his mother said to him, 'why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantically looking for you amongst the friends, and we thought you were with us, but you weren't. We've been searching everywhere.'" Verse 49 says, "But why did you need to search?" And that was Jesus saying that. He said, "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us. Use this word tonight to challenge us. Help us to be obedient to your scripture and help us to understand what you are speaking to us tonight, Lord. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be talking about lose to win. Now, as we've been reading that scripture, I'm sure for those who have had teenagers, have probably had that one scary moment where they've maybe lost their child, whether it be in the mall or in the local shopping center or at a general conference, something. It's quite frantic when you don't know where your child is. And as I was reading this, I was reminded of one particular scenario where my parents took me to Kmart, and as a six-year-old, Kmart is ginormous. And I was said to my parents, "Mom, I just want to go and have a look at the toys because I want to get some new toys." And I thought she said, "Yes, go ahead, we'll meet you there." And so, as a child does, you run to the toy section and you have a look and you start browsing. And little did I know, over the speakers, they were actually calling for my name because I had gone missing. My parents were frantically looking for me, apparently, yet I was just in the toy section, you know, playing with toys. And then all of a sudden I see my mum and she is not happy at all. She runs up to me, says, "Where have you been? We've been calling for you. Haven't you heard the speakers?" And I was just like, "I told you where I was. I was looking at toys and you said, go ahead." No, I was very much wrong. And they were very worried and very scared. And it was not a happy ride on the way home. And I'm sure if you've had a child or you've been that child, you've been in that circumstance before, we can relate to this scripture a little bit more. You know, what are you doing, Jesus? You were supposed to be with us. We thought you were traveling with us amongst our family and relatives on the way home to Nazareth. It took us 3 days to find you. I mean, it was probably only half an hour for me, lost in Kmart, but for 3 days to lose a 12-year-old, is quite something. You can imagine the stress and the anxiety that they would have had. And, well, they said, you know, you got to go. We got to go home. We got to go. And Jesus, he didn't do the typical tantrum of not wanting to leave, but he was obedient. He didn't give the teenage side eye. He didn't post about it on social media, but he was obedient and he honored their request and he went with them. Amen. And so when we look at honor and we look at respect, and we'll be talking a lot about that tonight, but honor in Scripture is not a suggestion. Honor in Scripture is a commandment. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus gave us the example on how as sons and daughters we ought to behave towards our parents. That yes, Jesus was there, but he needed to go and he was obedient to his parents. Jesus even rebuked the Pharisees because they had twisted this very verse. You see, every Jew would have known well and truly all about the Ten Commandments from a childhood. However, the Pharisees loved to reinterpret and twist the commandments, which included honoring your mother and father. Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to read from verses 4 to 6 in Matthew chapter 15. Verses 4 to 6, and again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. God says, honor your father and mother. Right, we get that. And he says this, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of their father or mother must be put to death. This is how serious it is. But you say, it is right to say to your parents, sorry, I can't help you right now because I vowed a relationship with God. I'm too busy to help you right now, and sorry, I can't help you. In this way, you say that you do not need to honor your parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. What an attitude to have. Their parents are obviously needing something. They need help, and they're saying, sorry, mom, sorry, dad, I can't do it. I've dedicated my life to God. That is more important than your needs right now. This is the type of attitude that Jesus was rebuking of the Pharisees. They had an incorrect view of what it meant to honor their parents. The Pharisees had this attitude that doing anything for their parents was an inconvenience to them. Their attitude was simply, sorry, not today. I'm helping God. And they put them in the background. It was an inconvenience to their service to God to be able to help their mother and father. Their thought, the Pharisees' thought, was merely existing was enough to honor their mother and father. And Jesus rebuked this very thought. He suggested that honoring your mother and father goes beyond passively benefiting them with our successes. And we'll get to that in a moment. But honoring your parents requires intention, it requires effort, and the truth of the commandment means it is important for us in our walk with God to honor our mother and father. It gives us a good face value of where our heart really is when it comes to our relationship with God. If we want to take our relationship with God seriously, we will have respect and honor for our parents. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says this, it says, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people, get this, such people are worse than unbelievers. And so he's saying, if you are disrespectful, if you won't care, if you won't help your relatives, you are worse than the unbelievers. And that's how serious God takes this. Now, obviously for some cultures, this is very much intertwined into the way that they're brought up in terms of honoring, respecting, and loving their parents. When I think about the Pacific Islands and their culture, and the Asia culture, the fact that they have their relatives living amongst them and they look after their parents and care for them and love them, they provide for them, They work hard to be able to provide and supply their needs and to look after them. And family to these cultures is everything. It is the absolute normal, and the highest degree of respect is to honor your parents, because after all, they did bring us into this world, and so we should honor them. They are the ones that cared for us, and so when they are elderly and when we are around them, we should be able to do the same. They care for that. And you'll see that in different cultures around the world, more so than some. And so that's, I really appreciate when I see that. The opposite, however, is those who are disobedient, those who are dishonorable, and those who do not want to have anything to do with their parents whatsoever. And of course, this is also being talked about in the end times, where we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, "For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive," and this is where it says it, "disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy." And so that is the sign of the end times. And so this is why we must pay attention to honoring our father and mother. So it is without question that honoring our parents and being submitted is an important commandment from God. We are not gifts to our parents unless we give to our parents. Now let's talk about submission in the home. In his youth, Jesus forfeited some things that were momentarily important to him in order to pursue the things that his parents would have him do. Jesus obviously was justified in his behavior in Jerusalem to want to teach and hear the word. He wanted to do the Father's will, of course, and the part of God's will was to teach and to preach to the audience in the temple. However, God's will was also for Jesus to respect his parents. Jesus was doing the will of God by being submitted and obedient. So let's look at the home and how it looks for us. So for children and young people, young adults, particularly teenagers, remember this, that you are not your parents' servant. You are, however, your parents' son or daughter. With that comes privilege, and also comes duty. We are to honor our parents with both our actions and our attitudes. It's not one thing to say, "I love you, Mum," "I love you, Dad," or Mother's Day or Father's Day, but it comes down to every aspect of our life and how we honor our father and our mother through our actions and our attitudes, and of course, our words as well. Jesus respected his parents. He modeled for us that submission and obedience, and they are important marks of a godly character. We need to desire those things just as Jesus taught us. And so the root of sacrifice and service is submission. Submission. When we look at the relationship between humanity and we look at the relationship with God and humanity, God created humans and immediately gave them a system of commandments to follow. Over the ensuing years, however, many of God's commandments were broken. But this much is evident: faithful people are also obedient people. I'll say that again. Faithful people are also obedient people. Submitting to anyone, regardless of your relationship to that person, is difficult. It is challenging to be submitted, particularly to those who have a challenging boss or a challenging individual in their life that is above them, whatever degree that is. It is not easy to be submitted. And in fact, it challenges you if you are really obedient and really are submitted when you disagree with that individual. But submission is necessary. In Jesus' life, we see that he was committed to a life of submission and obedience to his parents, but also to almost everyone around him in the stories of the gospel. Submission is necessary, but our flesh is sometimes it's hard to submit. Mark 14:38, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. That is very true. He suggested that the temptation to ignore spiritual disciplines can be problematic in our pursuit of being more like him. And so in order for us to show true submission, just like almost every other true spiritual discipline, it will take discipline as well. It's hard to submit when you don't agree. It's easy to submit when you're agreeing, but it's hard to submit when you don't agree. But Jesus modeled this out for us, and we must be obedient as well. When we reference discipline, we have to learn to lose every once in a while. We must learn to lose every once in a while. We need to lose the need to be right in some arguments. We need to lose our habit of serving ourselves and our selfish desires instead of serving others and discipling others. We must lose ourselves. Jesus said it after all, we can lose for his sake and we will find our souls. So how can we serve? How can we honor our parents? Noting that today that, of course, not all of us have the best relationship with our parents. Perhaps you grew up a single parent household like myself, or perhaps you are in a non-Christian household, or perhaps your parents have even passed away. We can still honor our parents. And I want to go over five practical ways that we can continue to honor our parents in our walk with God, because it is a commandment of us. And I want to talk about five practical ways on how we can do this. Now, this is only five. There are so many other ways, but as I begin to describe these, you'll get the idea. So let's talk about number one. Be thankful for them and show your gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we can honor our parents by being thankful and grateful for them. When we enter this world from our mother's womb, we are pretty helpless. We cannot feed ourselves, we cannot provide for ourselves, we cannot look after ourselves, we cannot provide ourselves self-care. All of this was the responsibility of your parents. And that is quite a big task. We can also have those who fulfill the role of parent as well. We may have perhaps drove them crazy as we grew up, but they continue to put clothes on your back and sacrificed a lot to give you food and shelter, a roof over the head to get you your school uniform and take you to school every day, getting you to soccer practice, all of those things. And so we can honor our parents by being thankful for them. And this of course isn't always easy. Perhaps some of us came from broken homes or abusive parents. And I must state that abuse is never okay, and broken homes is definitely not a nice place to be. But while it may feel impossible to show gratitude in those circumstances, as a Christian, we are to be thankful even in those dark times that we face. And God, of course, can use those things for good. I myself grew up in a broken home, where there was a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, and a lot of abuse. And it was an absolutely terrible situation to grow up in as a child. But despite those circumstances, and though they were absolutely tragic and no child should have to go through those things, but because of those things, I now have a testimony of God's goodness to show that despite those things, God was able to save me and help me and love and care for me. So even though it was a terrible situation that I grew up in with my parents, I am thankful nonetheless for my parents. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so even in the times where it is hard to be thankful and grateful for our parents, we can honor them by being thankful and grateful. Amen. That's number one. Number two is both hard and simple as well, is communicate with them. Communicate with them. Proverbs 1, verses 8 to 9, it says this: "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. When you learn from them, they will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." And so communication, of course, is key to building any real relationship. God wants us to have deep relationships with each other, and God wants you to have a deep relationship with your parents. And whether or not that means to communicate more than you are now, maybe that involves building a bridge to start communicating to your parents again. That is a way where we can honor our parents, by communicating to them. It could even be as simple as asking them, "How was your day?" You might be the only one that even asked them that question. It could be asking if you could take them out to lunch or dinner. It could be asking to take them and run around the town doing their errands for them, communicating with them. Not only to communicate, but to talk and treat them with respect, whether they are Christian or not Christian. The word honor in the Bible is translated is to determine the value of something. So the more you honor, is it's giving determination of the value of that person. Ephesians 6 verse 2, Paul is saying, we ought to honor and give value to our parents, to see them as valuable, but not vulnerable and annoying. How we talk about our parents to others, how we communicate our relationship with our parents to others, is also a way that we can reflect how much we honor them. And so be careful what you say about your parents behind their back. Often in our teenage years, we tend to say a lot of things that we regret later in life. We go through the rebellious stage of trying to do everything our way, and we think that we know everything, when in fact we don't. We sometimes let things slip sometimes, and we say things that aren't very nice, but I encourage you now to begin to communicate with your parents. Be nice, honor them, and respect them. Amen. That's number two, is communicate to your parents. Number three, this is also a good one, pray for them, and also pray with them if you can. Another way we can show honor is to pray for them, and that's an honorable thing. Pray for their health, pray for their relationship, pray for their holidays, pray for their jobs, pray for their walk with God, pray for their salvation if they are not with God yet. If you struggle with how to honor your parents as well, you can pray to God to ask you to help in this area. As I stated earlier, it's not easy to do some of these things because sometimes we don't have that good relationship with our parents. But this is a good time where we can pray and we can ask God, how can I honor my mother and my father? Amen. And so as we go through trials of life, we sometimes can be quick to forget that our parents are people also, and our parents also go through difficulties. So pray for them, pray for their financial struggles, pray for their jobs, pray for their retirement plans, pray for them. That is one way that we can honor them. Amen. The second last one, number four, is to forgive them. This is a big one, forgive them. Ephesians 4 verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. For some, this is often a very hard step, especially if you've not had the best relationship with your parents, or in fact, you don't perhaps know who your real parents are. This often can be very challenging. But remember this, that no parent is perfect, and we ourselves are not perfect either. We all make poor decisions. We all make mistakes. But let us not go down the road of bitterness or resentment, but let us take a path of forgiveness. Forgiveness will help you move forward and not be stuck in the past with anger, with pain, with resentment. And trust me, I've been there. It's not been easy to forgive someone who has caused so much division and pain inside a family household. But I choose forgiveness. It is very, very challenging to do when you've gone through some things. But God has called us to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us of so much. How can we not forgive those who have hurt us as well? We must be intentional to choose forgiveness. And so we can honor our parents by extending grace to them and to offer them forgiveness. And so I encourage you, be intentional and choose forgiveness. That is one way that we can honor our parents. Even if our parents are no longer around, maybe they've passed away, maybe they're no longer here anymore, we can choose to let go of the past and ask for forgiveness, and we can honor them by forgiving them as well. Number five, the last one, is taking care of them. Mark 7 verses 9 to 13 says, "You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I've vowed to give to God what I have given to you.' In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition." And this is only one example among many others. This is another, this is a different gospel of the same account. And this comes back to our main point in the lesson. God wants us to take care of our parents and be submitted to honor. And this seems very counterculture, especially to the Australian culture and my generation. Mum and dad are often referred to as the bank of mum or the bank of dad. We go to them when we are in need and when we are in trouble and when we need to be bailed out from certain situations. We ask for handouts, we ask for assistance. But when it comes for them to ask for assistance, we are not so willing to give of our time, of our money, or our effort. That is our culture that we face today, and it is quite challenging. Jesus took this very seriously in his strong rebuke of the Pharisees. He said, using religion as an excuse for not taking care of your parents was not okay. In fact, Jesus accused them over and over and over for setting up this idea, this religion that hurts, especially the elderly and especially those who were widows. And Jesus talks a lot about this. Paul liked people that did this to be worse than unbelievers, and we read that scripture. And so we can honor our parents by taking care of them. I challenge you to go against the culture. Don't let your parents pay for your dinner when you go out for that family lunch or that family dinner. How about you be the one that pays for everything? Instead of them driving you to their appointments, how about you drive them to their appointments? Assist them with their bills. Bless them. Do something different. Help them. Love them. Comfort them. These are just ways that we can honor our parents. And if you are currently helping your parents, know this: the Lord is pleased with you, and you are a great example to those who are around you, especially for those who have children as well, which one day may need to be taking care of you. In Ephesians 6, Paul commented on the command for us to honor our parents. He urged us to do this and said, "That it may be well with you, and you may live long on this earth." And so there is benefits to honoring our parents. These are scriptural promises that benefit us when we are submitted and we are honoring our parents. We will have extended health and extended wellness. You will be surprised at the amount of joy and happiness you can find in blessing your family, your mother and your father through serving them. Is it easy to serve your mother and father? Sometimes maybe no. But let us be like Jesus. Let us shine our light. Let us be submitted. Let us share the love of God to our families, and let us be an example to our children. Respecting the parental authority in our lives can teach us so much about faith and about worship. And as we come to a close, I want to present to you the case of honor as a tool of outreach. We can represent Jesus to our families by living the example. When Jesus steps into your life, there is an inward change in our heart, and that begins to seep and should begin to seep in every other aspect of our life, in the way that we present ourselves, in our attitudes, the way we dress, the way we talk. Everything, as God is beginning to change our heart, there is something that appears on the outside as well. Perhaps when it's at the Christmas dinner table, you're no longer gossiping about Auntie so-and-so or stepdad or step this. Perhaps that was what you used to do in your old life, but now you are honoring and you are respecting and you are sharing the love of God around the dinner table. They perhaps might find that you are more soft-hearted than you once were. Perhaps it was the family that used to invite you out for drinks every night, but now you say no. These are the ways that we can begin to be a witness to our family. That in itself, being an example, saying no to things and honoring your mother and father, is a testament of what God can do. God can change your life. And God can change your family's life as well. We're approaching Christmas time as well. It's crazy to think that we're almost there already. And for those like myself who have extended family and have multiple Christmas lunches and dinners on the Christmas day, it can be hard because there's a lot of, sometimes, family drama when it comes to the Christmas period. But I encourage you, be the one that is the peacemaker. If you know what I mean when it comes to Christmas and it gets a bit crazy sometimes, be the peacemaker. Don't get involved, but be the peacemaker. Share the love of God. Give honor to your parents. Offer them help. Offer them assistance. Step in when people are starting to make fun of your parents and starting to put a lot of workloads on them during those family dinners of cooking and prepping. Be the one that gets there early to help set up and be the last one out to help clean up. Honor your father and mother. And as I come to a close, I pose this question to you. If you were the only representative of Jesus in your home, in your family, I ask you, would your behavior, would the very person you are, your character, the way you behave, the way you speak, will that be enough to direct your siblings and your parents to salvation? That is a very challenging question that we can ask ourselves today. Are they able to see the love of God in you and through you? Maybe perhaps you didn't honor your parents and your mother and father. Perhaps you have said some of those things that we've talked about tonight. But I want to encourage you, it is okay to let go of the past, let bygones be bygones, and forgive them, love them. And when we think about all the things that we've been through, we've struggled, we come back to the Word of God and remember that God loved us in that while we were yet sinners, He chose to die for us. And so we must come back to the Word of God, and we see in the commandments that we are to honor our father and mother, no matter how challenging that may be. But when we do, when we are submitted to the word of God, just as Jesus was to Mary when she was chasing after him and trying to find him, he went lost and missing and was in the temple in Jerusalem, he was submitted to his parents. And so we must be submitted to them as well. And we give them honor and we give them thanks. And so I encourage you, if you have not yet done that, now is the time. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we've read your commandment to honor our father and mother. And for those of us who perhaps have those broken relationships with our parents, God, we just pray that you would help us and challenge our hearts to begin to honor them again, Lord. As we spoke about those practical things, Lord, help us to have gratitude and thankfulness. Help us to forgive them, Lord, and to be able to help them where it is needed, Lord Jesus. Let us be a servant to our families, Lord. Lord, help us to be honorable to those who are parents in our lives and perhaps the parents that have filled that position in our lives, Lord. Just help us, Jesus, to be able to honor them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are so thankful for your word tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory tonight, Lord, and we thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.